Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Massachusetts Public Mental Health System has been under examination for almost 2 years after a mental health worker was murdered, allegedly by a client. WBUR and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting have been looking at the system, and we've found some problems. Those include workers who say they still feel unsafe and clients who say they're not getting the right services. Our investigation also found that workers at a Somerville group home were cited by the state for not reporting a patient missing, even though they hadn't seen her for more than 2 days. She was eventually found dead in the group home after apparently committing suicide. As we conclude our series today, we hear from Dr. Ken Duckworth. He's medical director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and he's former acting commissioner of the State Department of Mental Health.
Good morning, Tim.
Well, the WBUR New England Center for Investigative Reporting series looked at what's happened in Massachusetts since 2009. And that was when the state implemented what's known as CBFS, or Community-Based Flexible Supports. Are we doing the right thing by moving more people into the community? Can we do this, Ken?
CBFS, you know, is, I think, a vision that is consistent with Massachusetts' broad values. Being patient or consumer-centered, focusing on recovery, letting people have choices, letting them direct their own care is consistent with Massachusetts, one of the few states that doesn't have outpatient commitment. It's very difficult to get a guardianship, but we need to decide if we want to invest in this as a process.
Well, you know, and if we don't invest, Ken, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if we don't invest, how progressive are we really?
Well, that, I think, is the question that we have to ask ourselves. You know, we're a proud state with a rich tradition of healthcare leadership. We're not leading in this area. We're not.
Now, you mentioned patient-centered care as a big part of the philosophy of CBFS. And along with the rights of the patient to be able to choose treatment, also come health privacy information rules, which many people cite as a good thing in a way, but also an obstacle. Police say when they try to get information about how to deal with some things that they're being called in to deal with as first responders, do we need more information sharing, and how can we do that in a way that does protect the rights of the client, but also make sure that the system works well?
Group home workers, in my opinion, should have all the information they need. To arrive at the Department of Mental Health, you have to have a serious psychiatric illness. The population of people in the Department of Mental Health has fundamental risks. And I think it's more complex when you ask about the law enforcement qualities. What's the definition of an emergency? At what point do you call someone?
Right. We actually, in our reporting, we uncovered the suicide of a young woman at a group home in Somerville where staff were admonished for not seeing her for 60 hours before her body was discovered. And the DMH investigation into that suicide said that the staff were more concerned with her privacy rights than with safety and never reported her missing or decided to do an all-out search. So I think it is a difficult thing to strike that balance.
And I think, you know, the more clinically sophisticated people that you have weighing these competing desires we have to protect people's dignity and privacy and also to be mindful of safety risks for the individual and for third parties is one of the most challenging arts of mental health work.
Aside from resources, you mentioned outpatient commitment at the start. Do you advocate more hospitalizations or more, stronger rules about outpatient commitments in Massachusetts, or maybe, you know, assisted outpatient treatment that would mandate that folks take their medications to live in the community? Would those things help?
Massachusetts has to make decisions about how paternalistic they want to be. That's clearly not part of our tradition. But either way, it's going to require us to make a decision to give the staff the support they need to do this very challenging work. Assisted outpatient treatment works when it's combined with additional resources. The Jared Loughner shooting in Arizona occurred in a state with the strongest outpatient commitment laws. And when I traveled to Tucson, Arizona, you know, the comment I came away from was that it's easier to get a gun in Arizona than it is to get a psychiatrist. Strong laws don't do it. if you don't have the resources to back it up.
How is Massachusetts considered overall in terms of providing mental health care? You said that we're considered progressive. Are we a leader in providing services, public services, to people who are suffering from mental illness?
We're doing a few things in Massachusetts that I think are very positive and creative. We're not that great at emulating ideas that come from other states. Jail diversion, crisis intervention training are phenomena that are widespread in other states that we have been relatively slow to adopt. Overall, Massachusetts is not considered a beacon of mental health leadership anymore because of resources, not because of the people.
All right. Dr. Ken Duckworth, Medical Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness and former Acting Commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Mental Health, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.